Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm your host, Mike Bongiorno. I'm here today with my good friend and yours, Mr. William Gagliardi.
Hello, Mike. How are you? How's your midsummer?
My midsummer is lovely. I just jumped off a rock and killed myself.
Oh, geez. I didn't see the movie, I didn't really get that reference.
That's a reference to the Ari Aster motion picture. How's your midsummer?
It's good. I stayed on the rock and just jumped to another rock. And
yeah.
And then I was in a rock for a little bit.
All right.
And I didn't leave Staten Island at all. Come on, who am I kidding?
Well, William.
Michael.
Today we are talking about a motion picture.
Yes, we are.
From the year 1988.
Mm.
Big Top Pee-wee.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
No. Oh. No. We're skipping that one.
Oh.
We're doing Big Top Pee-wee from 1988. This is your suggestion?
Yes.
What's your history with Big Top Pee-wee?
My history with Big Top Pee-wee was that it was really my only consumption of Paul Reubens' Pee-wee Herman.
Really?
Like, I mean, there was Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh,
but,
okay. Yeah.
But for some reason, I guess just my life schedule, I always caught the extreme very end of Pee-wee's Playhouse when he was getting onto the scooter,
which, like, is always sad.
Yeah,
it's always a bummer.
It has a very, like, melancholy music.
Yeah.
But I was also a little afraid of Pee-wee's Playhouse because of the traveling salesman. Oh. I have come to terms with that. I have megalophobia and don't like big things.
It's really interesting you say that.
So, yeah, because I'm 6'2", and you know, anything bigger than me, it's like,
yeah.
I got to honor your dominance.
Well, maybe you and I are both a little inspired by that great Pee-wee documentary that just came out.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I said this.
And I was watching it with Jen, and Jen admitted to me that she was scared of Pee-wee, his energy. And I totally agree with that, because here's a confession for me. I don't know if I've ever said on air. When I was a little kid, I was afraid of Weird Al Yankovic.
I could see why.
His energy, when he would scream and his eyes would blow, like, it just unnerved me as a kid. It was like, this is not safe. I do not understand this. I am scared.
Okay.
Just a scary man with scary energy.
Yeah.
So I get.
I see it. He does, like, a lot of squats, a lot of flailing arms and stuff. And Pee-wee's kind of the same way, just, like, a little stiffer, you know?
Yeah. But just there's something – well, there's definitely something clownish about him.
Yes.
Right?
How are you with clowns?
Yeah. And, not terrible.
Hmm.
Again, Jen is terrified of clowns. Even now, clowns, like, unnerve her. Like, a phobia, a little, like, sweats.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with clowns, but I can understand why they're unnerving.
Yeah.
It's that uncanny thing. And the same thing's true for Pee-wee. Are you here's the big question with Pee-wee. Are you an adult or a child? And no, you can't answer that question.
Are you a man-child?
Yes. That's the thing. One of the biggest, and we'll get into the movie, one of the biggest missteps, I think, of this film is giving him a love interest and having things to do with love and sex.
You're already opening up the can of worms there. The hetero in this that is pushed on this, especially with Paul Reubens, is aggressive.
It's crazy.
But yeah, so just to go back a little bit, I did not see Pee-wee's Big Adventure until much later on.
Oh, wow.
Big Top Pee-wee, I had on VHS and watched daily. When I revisited it this week, so much, like the opening credits, the just the title card, everything like struck me like lightning again.
Wow.
And hearing Danny Elfman's score again for it, I was like, wow, yeah. This song was played in my head over and over and over for like the longest time. Like, and I had no idea what it was. Like, I would hum it. And be like, what is that from? And then like it just like kind of just cracked like an egg in my brain.
You loved it as a kid.
Loved it.
I gotta be honest with you. All right, so before I even say my piece, okay? Some of you may know, in the world of pop culture, generally this is considered not good, right?
It's not good.
There's Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which is considered like this great classic, and the TV show Pee-wee's Playhouse is considered like a great kids show, like a revisionist kids show. And then everyone says, like, this is the bad one. And I remember I saw it, like, once as a kid, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I watched it for maybe the whole way through for the first time, like last week.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
Yeah.
It's not, it has some major missteps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the previously mentioned sexuality.
Yeah.
But it's just as inventive, it's just as interesting, it's just as wild and artistic as anything else he did. I just think, this is my big thing, it's, he is hearkening back to his childhood in the 50s.
Yes.
And that stuff, that nostalgia he had, did not work for kids in the 80s.
Yes, and it doesn't also play to his aesthetic as well, because, right. I mean, and what we've learned from the documentary about, like, how he was involving all these, like, punk artists and stuff to, like, just... Which is amazing that that's what we grew up on, and that's what we thought was the norm, and that's what we were consuming. But to do that, I wasn't really getting into that at the time, because this came out in 88. I was 3 years old. So by the time I watched it, I was like 4 or 5. Uh-huh. So like, I knew who Pee Wee Herman was, but then it was just like this pastoral or like rural version of
him. That's the problem.
It's Pee Wee Herman unplugged, you know?
Yeah. And, but it also speaks to like something that probably was exciting to kids in the 50s, like circuses.
Yeah.
You could tell Paul Reubens, like, you could look at Pee Wee as a creation and say, okay, this was a guy who loved the circus as a kid.
Yeah.
But in the 1988 and early 90s, I didn't give a fuck about circuses.
Oh, I did.
I didn't give a fuck about farms. Oh, and I know that sounds like who would, but no, like the idea of I live on a farm and there's a bunch of fun animals.
Yeah.
There's definitely something childhood to that, but it's the wrong aesthetic.
And there's also work involved, you know? There's labor on a
right,
farm.
Right, right.
It's like, I don't want to work.
Like, I think probably rewatching it last week, the thing that I think probably immediately turned me off when I was a kid was, well, he sings and then he flies. That's weird. But he wakes up on a farm and he's got the pig, whatever, and then he's like, he goes and does farm things, mm-hmm. right? And, like, I loved, and I think every kid in the 80s loved the playhouse.
Yeah.
And in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, it is and isn't the playhouse. It's not the playhouse set from his original stage show.
Right.
And the kids show. But it's a wacky house where there are Rube Goldberg machines doing things. So it's ostensibly the playhouse.
Yes.
So I can imagine myself as a kid being like, oh, a Pee Wee movie, and he's not in the playhouse, he's in a farm?
Yeah.
And it's like ugly and boring?
Yeah, it's like he's at his grandparents' house for the weekend, you know?
And like that alone, so that's the thing, I think as an artistic creation, like Pee Wee, and I think, having watched a documentary, I think Pee Wee really is like this amazing artistic creation that he like obviously put a lot into. But I think he thought that it was very malleable to the point where like it would work in every setting. Mm. And I think as an adult, it does work in this setting. But as a kid, the thing that kids like glommed onto and like loved about Pee-wee was that manic, funny, slick, wild, you know, TGI Fridays aesthetic.
Yeah.
And this movie doesn't give you that, so it's immediately a disappointment.
Yeah, just to tag on to that, the kids loved the package of Pee-wee, not just the character.
Yes.
And Paul Reubens was all about the character. I mean, he was very passionate about everything, but like, it was the character first.
Yeah.
And the character was not for kids. And like at this point, it was like, let's market it towards kids. And it is... Is it a kid's movie?
Oh, that's the problem.
That's the question.
Because the sexuality is weird.
Yeah.
If not for the sexual... And you know what? You could even have a love interest that he like kisses on the cheek. Like, it's not necessarily that there's a love interest. It's that there's sexuality.
Yeah.
And that's off-putting with the character. Even now, it's off-putting. Yeah. And also, this is 1988. So the Playhouse show was going.
Yeah.
So at the height of you being a kid's show star... You have this, like, it seems like a giant misstep.
Yeah.
Like, if you were a fan of the Pee-wee's Playhouse show, and then this movie came out, and your parents are like, let's go see the Pee-wee movie. When he, like, jumps on Penelope Ann Miller, like, he wants to bang her.
Yeah. And eat her hair, you know?
You would immediately, oh, that's so weird. You would immediately be like, this is, what? Why?
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. And also, the idea, Pee-wee's supposed to be nice.
Yeah.
And the idea that he would, cheat on his girlfriend with another woman is not nice. I mean, look, he's a trickster, he's a prankster. Obviously, he is not nice to Francis, but Francis stole his bike. Francis is an asshole. Francis deserves it. Versus slobs.
Yeah.
Francis is rich.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be nice, and he's not that nice. Well, at least that aspect isn't nice. He's nice in other ways, but you know, having a what they call fiance,
yeah,
and then cheating on her with this other person is not nice.
Hey, she rebounded pretty well, though.
She hooked up with four Italian brothers.
Yeah, everybody got an Italian in this movie.
Everybody got a little. Well, that, one of the funniest lines is Penelope Ann Miller when she's like, "It was bound to happen. You're a man. She's Italian."
I did get a good laugh in that. It felt very Jack Donaghy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, but that's all to say, as an adult film lover, I actually liked this way more than I thought it was. You know, like, it became a punchline, like Big Top Pee Wee. Like it's like the Jaws 2 of comedy. It's like, it's you know, secondhand for terrible sequel, like completely misguided sequel. So I was waiting to be bored and waiting to like be like, oh, this is a slog, and it's not really.
No,
it's
no.
a pretty
Doesn't
competently made movie. Yeah. It really is. It's the director of Grease.
Yes,
right. So it's a competently made movie.
Is it Grease or Grease 2?
I believe it's Grease.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look, it's not Tim Burton. I think Tim Burton would have done something better.
Yeah, I don't think that he would have. Tim Burton, I feel like, would have disagreed a lot with Paul Rubens on this.
I think so. I think Tim Burton had a little bit more irony to him at this time, and then I think Paul has more sincerity than Burton.
Yeah.
So I think some of the sincerity, Burton would have been like, let's turn this a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's not just make it a talking pig. Let's make it should be a funny talking pig, or it should be a talking pig that sounds like German or whatever. Like he would have put some spin on it that isn't there. This is like the artist dilemma. In some ways, Big Top Pee Wee is like the purest Paul Rubens.
Yeah.
Yet it failed. Yeah. It's the Icarus. He flew too close to the sun.
Yeah. And you can see like that there's money in it.
Oh,
you
know, like, I mean, it's a sequel to a huge movie, although that's probably another reason I think kids didn't like it to it, because it's not a sequel.
No.
It's like an Abbott and Costello movie. It's like, here's another movie with Pee Wee in it.
Right.
The only reference to the original movie is when he does tequila a little bit in the tightrope at the end. And apparently, Danny Elfman wanted to use his themes from Big Top Pee Wee, and for legal reasons, they said he couldn't.
To Big Adventure?
Oh, yeah, to Big Adventure. Yeah, yeah. Because he did, I was surprised. I was like, oh, this is also Danny Elfman?
Yeah.
Danny Elfman did both films.
And it's a very, like, I mean, you hear the Danny Elfman
definitely like, Danny Elfman, but it's not the same. He wanted to use the same themes. He wanted to use the same music as the first movie.
Lazy.
And they wouldn't let him do it. So I don't know if I've been talking a lot. So I don't know if I got this. As an adult.
Yes.
What are your feelings on it?
I don't feel how I felt as a child, but
sure.
You know, looking at my kids now and seeing how often they watch a movie and how tired I am of these movies that they watch, even though they're fantastic. Yeah. Like, you know, how many times they watch Star Wars and Back to the Future and everything. Yeah. And like, we're talking like on a daily basis.
Sure.
But they have options to watch, you know, like I just had the one VHS tape of that. So it was a feverish love back then, where now I'm like, oh, I get it. But I guess I'm just like beating around the bush. I enjoyed it. It's a good movie. I don't think that it should have been as much of a failure as it did. But I guess it was just.
It's not what we wanted.
Yeah. It's not what people wanted. Tim Burton, he was doing Beetlejuice at the time.
Yes.
Or like Beetlejuice was already came out. And he was already starting to work on Batman.
Yes.
So, you know, if we're going to put both of them together, he's who he should have had to go in the sequel direction.
Probably. Did you ever see the third one, the Netflix movie?
Yes, Pee-wee's but Big Holiday? Like I kept walking in and out of the room. It is more of a Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
That's the thing. Like, it's definitely good, and it's definitely like a throwback. It's made in 2016, so it has a feeling of like You know, like it was written by Paul Rust from Love, and like, yeah, so that's somebody who grew up with Pee Wee and stuff. But it's the mold of Big Adventure. Yeah. It's like, let's do Big Adventure clone. And I mean, it's cool at the time that Pee Wee didn't want to do that. That he was like, no, I've got this whole other idea with the circus and whatnot.
Yeah. Instead of traveling, you're just staying put right on your own property. Like, you're not.
And you never leave or move ever.
No.
Ever. Okay, so let's say the movie's directed by Randall Kleiser, who did Grease and Flight of the Navigator, written by Paul Rubens and George McGrath, and composed by Danny Elfman. There's a line that stood out to me watching it that I feel like is very Paul Rubens. And again, I feel like I know Paul Rubens way more after that like 4-hour documentary.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, folks, go and watch it. It's so really good. It's something that Kris Kristofferson says: when people don't want a circus, the world just don't make much sense. I feel like that's Paul Rubens. And the second time I was watching it, because I watched it twice this week, I realized the Kris Kristofferson character, Mace Montana, right, is Paul Rubens. I think he's the stand-in for Paul Rubens, the man. Like, all of his philosophy about put on a show and I just want to make people smile and my whole life is to entertain. I was like, that's Paul Rubens. That's his, whether he was aware of it or not when he was writing it, like, that's his philosophy.
Yeah. You don't want to? I think, you know, there's nothing back in this, but I think Kris Kristofferson would have been one of his people during the allegations.
Yeah.
Because, like, look what he did with Sinead O'Connor. You know, when everybody was booing her on stage, he's like, don't let the bashes get you down.
Yeah.
It's like, Kris Kristofferson, man.
He's cool.
Me and Bobby McGee.
He's done some cool shit, too. I like Kris Kristofferson. So where do we go from there?
I just wanted to go back to the title card.
Please.
It just... Back in the 80s, I didn't see this as an aesthetic, or I just, with all the Disney movies like Dumbo and everything, like, I just thought that the circus theme title card was just how movies started, you know, like, so looking back at this now, seeing that he wanted to revisit that, even though, you know, as a young naive kid, I was like, oh, this is just how normal movies start.
Right. Right. When you're young, you don't understand pastiche or anything because you don't understand context.
Yeah.
I remember one time when I taught a class where it was around, I think it was just a media class, not a film class, but it was like Halloween. So I was like, let's watch Michael Jackson's Thriller. And some of the kids were like, oh, the makeup on the werewolf looks so bad. And I was like, first of all, it doesn't look bad. It just doesn't look up to what you think it's supposed to look like. But it's also supposed to look like the 50s.
And that was done by the guy from American Werewolf in London, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the movie in the movie. Yeah. Like it's a, but like they were too young to realize that something, because they think of the 80s as forever ago. So they were too young to realize that something old like Thriller could have enough wherewithal to pastiche something even older. You know, it's like, you know, like you, if you showed like, I don't know, Sin City to a kid now, they'd be like, yeah, it's an old movie. Old movies are in black and white.
Yeah.
Like, no, you dummy. So it begins with Pee Wee singing on a stage.
Now, is that his real voice?
Oh, that's a great question.
Because if it is, like,
I don't know.
He's got some nice dulcet tones.
I do not know. It might be.
I always love that light trick when, like, at the end when he's singing, holding that note and he's, the light shining on him and like his arms cutting the light.
Yeah.
I was always fascinated by that. That was always like a very surreal look to me.
So you think this is why you went into music? Because of that scene?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
You were like, yes, I want to have women hooting and hollering at me.
Only women. Yeah. It was only women. And like he was eating it up.
Yeah, it's a weird opening for a bunch of reasons. One, it's a non sequitur.
Yeah.
Two, he then flies away. Well, first of all, the joke of him dressing like Abraham Lincoln is funny.
Took me out.
That's actually like, really good. And they think it's him. They're like, oh, it's Abraham Lincoln.
He's
like,
but nice, however, it's you. A bigger, Pee Wee Herman is a bigger deal than a living Abraham Lincoln. Like, it's like, oh, hello, Mr. Lincoln. It's fine. Like,
right.
As if anybody was buying
it. Yeah. But he signs an autograph as Lincoln. He's like, thank you very much.
Like, he still drew attention to himself no matter what.
But then he flies away, which is weird. It's weird, but he has powers.
Yeah.
That's, I think, more of a reference to the original stage show, because he wishes to fly in that, and then he flies at the end.
It very much runs off of, like, Looney Tunes logic.
Yes, you know, like- yes. But then later on, there's a subplot of him trying to find an act to do in the circus. And it's like, but we... The film begins with you being a singer.
Yeah.
So why don't you sing in the circus? It just feels like a weird... I don't know. Like, that was, like, page one, the first thing they wrote. And then they're like, oh, let's get to the farm stuff. And then they never went back and fixed it. It's just odd. And it also... All the women, like, swooning at him fits into this whole thing. All right. So let's... I guess we danced around it a little bit, and we're like 20 minutes into it. Let's talk about that. So the documentary posits the idea that perhaps the reason for this stuff is that he was gay and he was closeted, and he treated Pee-wee as its own creation, its own person, and he didn't. Even though there's some things credited to Paul Rubens, but it was always Pee-wee as himself. Yes. And he would go on talk shows as Pee-wee. Pee-wee was its own thing. And the documentary posits that, like, the reason for the sexuality in this is to try to show Pee-wee straight, or to distance himself from homosexuality or whatever.
Yeah, as far as possible. Where, like, even though Pee-wee should always just, like, kind of be asexual.
Yes.
Or kind of more like have a, this is like a little cringy way to say it, but like more of like a child's approach to sex, it's like, if like you see like a woman's skirt, like above the knee a little bit, you're like, ooh, right, like, right, you know, like right. not your.
I said, he should, if it like Missy Vaughn.
Yeah.
Like it should be nothing more than a crush or like a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, I'm going to jump on you.
Yes.
The thing I'm wondering is, I don't know. I'm not totally sure I buy into the idea that it's about projecting heterosexuality, because you're fucking Pee-wee. Like, I think it's simpler than that. I think he just thought he wanted to expand the Pee-wee character and what the Pee-wee character can do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, he's kind of like earnest and he wants to get his bike, and sometimes he's scared. But that's it. Like, in this movie, he's like brave. And, like, he, like, just on an emotional level, the character Pee-wee does a lot more things.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's what he was doing, because I can't imagine. I don't know. Like, the documentary makes fun of that really long shot of him kissing the Italian woman. And it
where
is
the music stops and then starts again.
Long shot. But I read that scene as more like supposed to be like a parody of like some romance movie, like Hero Eternity or something. I don't know if it was an attempt to make Pee-wee straight. I think it was an attempt to just do more with Pee-wee than could be done.
Right.
Because it's not the sexuality. It's not heterosexual or homosexual. It's just that there's sexuality at all. Like you said, it should be asexual. Like, Pee-wee, just that energy, which is such a child energy. Like, you think about it, the first movie is about him, like, he lost his bike and he wants his bike back.
Yeah.
He's very much like a child in the first movie.
Yeah.
And in this one, he's got a farm, which is like you said, is labor. So he like has a job.
Yeah.
He's also a scientist.
Yeah. He does science, botany, chemistry.
Yeah.
He does things. He does adult things.
He's way more of an adult in Big Top Pee-wee. And
so why do we
have two relationships?
Yeah. He has a Gumar. Be like,
right, yeah, yeah.
It's Valerie and Gulia. So he's got a Gumar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gumar. That's the biggest mystery. I think if you take all that stuff out, you can even leave, what's her name, Valeria
Golina.
Yeah, she's great, by the way, from Hot Shots.
Hot Shots, yeah.
If you can even leave her in, or leave in Penelope Ann Miller, but take away, like,
anything
about him touching her hair, and any sex. Like, they can be relationships, just no sex.
Yeah.
You
crossed the line.
Pee-wee
crossed the line.
I keep coming back to it, but that one joke where he goes every day to have lunch with Penelope Ann Miller, and she's the school mom, right? So there's kids around and stuff, and like he like jumps on top of her like he's super horny.
Yeah. And then the kids are taking pictures.
Yeah, that alone, that act alone crosses a line.
Yeah.
Because it's, no one wants the character to do that. No one wants to see the character do that. No one wants to feel that from the character.
It's uninvited from her.
Right, yeah. For one thing, it's sexually aggressive from a character that we don't want to see sexuality from at all.
Yeah.
I think that's the major thing. And then there's the egg salad of it all, where it's like gross. Oh, so much
egg salad. Egg salad's all over the movie.
It's gross. Yeah,
it's like, okay, so they're eating lunch under the tree.
Yeah.
Their names are carved into the tree. She's a school teacher. Right. She prepares his favorite lunch, which he takes a couple of guesses.
Right. I think we're supposed to get the idea that even though they're in a relationship, they don't really know each other.
Right.
Because she doesn't have imagination like he does. No. Like when they're sitting and he's like, look at the clouds, that looks like this. Like, she doesn't get it.
Yeah.
But the other woman does
get it. I guess we were supposed to be like, poor Pee-wee. It was like, dude, fucking grow up. Yeah. But like, don't grow up as much as we're seeing you grow up. But like, just be a decent human being and like, meet this woman halfway.
Yeah.
Be honest and tell her what you like to eat. Don't just throw away her, egg, because she's going to keep making them from you.
Right.
And she's going to throw them down waterfalls.
Favorite. Yeah.
You know, like, she's going to find one man or four that like egg salad.
Yeah. She thinks that's your favorite. So if that's wrong, why don't you tell her what your favorite is?
Yeah. Communication is key, Mike.
It's also weird that they're like engaged.
Yeah.
Like, why? It's just a detail that's not needed. Just have her be like your sweetheart.
Yeah. Like Mickey and Minnie. That's it.
Yes. Yes. I mean, look, the first movie does it perfectly, right? There's Dottie, and I got to tell you,
I'm a loader, Dottie.
Dottie is a baddie, as the kids say. I always thought Dottie was super cute, and she likes him, and he tells her no. He's like, no, Dottie, I'm a loner, blah, blah, blah. He dismisses it.
Yeah.
Which is maybe the right way to do it.
Right.
But then in this movie, it's the total opposite.
Yeah. Which, I don't know where that was the inspiration, because like a lot of things, you know, what we also learned in the documentary is like Pee Wee Herman's like based off of like Howdy Doody or like Captain Kangaroo or anything like this. It's like we never see him
do anything sexual.
Sex assault anybody.
Yeah, yes.
And then the pig trains the children to mud wrestle, which is also weird.
Yeah. Oh, wait, let's just talk about this scene.
What, the montage?
Yeah. Yeah. So
Pee-wee has sex in the movie.
He does.
He does. And as a four-year-old, I like kind of got it, I guess. I was like, something's going on.
Yeah, him and what's the character's name?
The character's Gina.
Gina. Him and Gina are in her like little like wagon, I guess, right? Like,
yeah, her Italian gypsy wagon.
Yeah, and he like they hug and kiss, and he like kind of like they lay down while kissing, and then there's a montage, so it's like footage of a train going into a tunnel,
fireworks, lava
splashing,
and then bikini mud wrestling,
and then the next day he's like, oh, I'm having a great day, what a wonderful day, and it's like, no,
doesn't belong here.
No. And then the train going into it's almost worse than actually him fucking her. Like
you saw penetration.
Yeah, you saw
penetration. You saw penetration, you saw ejaculation.
I mean, it's like Pee-wee got it in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would have thought that the character Pee-wee wouldn't be interested in sex.
Yeah.
Or know anything about it. The fact that he's like kind of a sex fiend in this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like in the first scene,
well, there's not that much to do on the farm, Mike.
Yeah. Right, which is a whole other thing. Like the first scene with Penelope and Miller, he does a thing, he sees her hair, she has blonde hair, and like his hand like shakes, and then he like starts stroking her hair, and it's like he's got this, which again, that's weird because that's an unwanted touch.
Yeah.
This idea that he has this compulsion to touch women's hair. It's very uncomfortable. And then he does it again with the other woman, Gina. It's not what Pee-wee should be doing.
No.
And I know he was the creative Pee-wee. He whatever, but somebody should have stepped in. You know, you've got a popular kid show on the air right now. Mm. Like, what are you doing essaying people?
Do you think it was a little bit of like his kind of wink to his adult audience? Like, hey guys, I'm still cool. You know,
that's possible.
Where it's like, you knew that this was like kind of like a, it wasn't really a raunchy show, but like the joke was to the adults that he was innocent about this stuff. Like,
yeah. Well, in the original, have you ever seen the original show?
Just whatever was on the doc.
There's he redid it on HBO in 2015 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like the exact show, like no changes in it, or like very few changes. I think the only change is he made it look like the playhouse from the show, which I think is clever. Mm. But one of the things that happens in the show is he puts mirrors on his shoes to look up Miss Yvonne's dress. Mm. So the Pee-wee of the stage show was a little bit more Randy. Mm. But then the Pee-wee who becomes the Pee-wee of the playhouse is nothing like that.
Right.
And maybe he did want to go back to that. It's just super misguided. Right. It's super misguided. It becomes too much of what the film's about. It's like the thrust of the movie.
Yeah.
Sorry to say the word thrust. The first movie is such a simple high concept. Someone steals his bike. He wants his bike back.
Yeah.
This is like he's on a farm and then there's a Wizard of Oz like storm and they don't explain it as like a hurricane or a tornado yet. I guess that's what it is because when he comes out the next day from the storm shelter, there's like the Cabrini circus is all around him and all those people and stuff. And then it's like putting on a circus kind of thing. It's not very high concept.
No.
Let's talk about another weird thing. It's not weird, but it's just I feel like it's unpleasant for a kid. And also, I don't think it's well written enough that it makes sense. Why do the townspeople hate
Pee-wee? Thank you so much for going here. Why do they hate Pee-wee?
Why do they hate Pee-wee?
Why do they hate Pee-wee? Because he's Pee-wee and they are not.
Yes.
Like, think about this. Think you're Mr. Ryan. Yeah. You're there. You're running your journal store. You got your eyebrows. They're going all over the place.
You got the two old ladies to hang out with.
They want, like, you're a mixture of a deli and a Joann's Fabrics is your store.
Yeah.
So they were.
You run the general store.
Yeah.
You got gingham.
what else was it? Egyptian lace?
Yeah.
They need to take their time with it. You're living a slow paced thing. And here comes Pee Wee Herman, who looks like a city boy, right? Like he's dressed in the nines, and he's demanding a cheese sandwich.
Yeah,
very loud. Like this is not their pace.
Yeah, you so like that you're on his side. So
I wasn't for the longest time, but because I was like these people are. Really angry. I was like, these old people suck.
Yeah.
But they seem tired of his shit.
Okay.
You know?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I would like a pickle. Like, it's not like he's like, oh, I'm sorry I bothered you this much. He's like, I'll just take this cheese sandwich and go. Seem like you're
I see what you're saying. No,
he's
I'm
like,
getting it.
Would it hurt for you to have a pickle? He's like, sorry, I gotta stop this game. Like, and then it's this performative of like, the world has to stop because Pee Wee Herman has main character syndrome and everybody in the town.
You know what?
Had it.
I think you're right.
No, I don't agree with the way that they're doing it. I don't think that they're kind people.
Right.
But I empathize with them.
I get it. And so, okay, I get that. But then that translates or that turns into we are adamantly against the idea of a circus.
Yeah.
And we want the circus people away. I guess the circus people is one thing because they're like, quote unquote, freaks.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, we don't want freaks.
You think that's a queer narrative?
Now I do. That you just fucking said it.
Yeah.
Benicio del Toro's first movie.
There you go.
As Duke the dog-faced boy. His dialogue is more... I can understand his dialogue more in this movie than any other movie he's ever done. And he barks in this movie. The freaks is more problematic shit. The shim.
Oh, the shim.
The shim, which is half man, half woman. And it's the one of those... things where it's like literally like dissected, like one half of the body is a dress and makeup on half the face and long hair on half
it's
the
Will
head.
Forte in 30 Rock.
Yes, where he's, it's that thing.
Yeah.
And they say shim.
Yeah, the only person shim could marry is himself.
Yeah. God.
There's a lot of things that I've learned from this movie, like looking at clouds and trying to figure out things. The word shim or what a hermaphrodite was.
Right. Yeah, they say hermaphrodite.
They say hermaphrodite.
And there's Mace's wife who
how does that work?
I'll send you the websites.
Pamphlets?
I've seen stuff like that on I've seen some deviant art like that.
Does she just go in?
No, it's more like you're gonna want to Google like Tinkerbell.
No, I don't want to
rule
do that.
Rule 6, whatever the rule is. What's the number of the rule?
I'm not going to tell you what the name of it because I don't want to let people know that I know.
I'll send you shit later. I've seen some of this. So I know, I think that's how it works. Basically, she just, you don't forget it. let me draw your picture.
So if it's weird. If you don't understand, Mace Montana is a normal sized man, and Midge.
Midge, yeah.
Oh, that's a hard, that's a cruel name.
Yeah.
Is a Thumbelina of a woman.
Yeah, she's literally like the little people who could fit in glasses in Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
She's not just a little person, because there is a little person.
There is, who's also in Waxworks 1.
Yes.
To be continued on that.
Yeah. But no, so she's like a genuine, like at the end, she's the needle in the haystack. That's her bit in the show.
All that for like 30 seconds of,
yeah,
of
I know.
Song.
Yeah. So she also screams every line.
oh, yeah. She's a brassy broad.
Yeah. And he also carries her around with him in like his pocket. It's very weird. What was I saying? Oh, like I guess it's a queer narrative. Yeah. But then also, like, the way he solves at the end is he uses his agricultural science magic.
Oh, you mean GMOs. He made GMOs.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if he created GMOs, but, like, he has modified these. Like, that's what his lab did, pretty
much. Yes.
And that's why Vance could talk as well, probably.
Why is he the only animal that could talk?
I don't know. Is that the inspiration to Babe? Like,
yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like,
these are things I've been thinking about for the last 40 years, Mike.
He's so inventive. Paul Rubens, that, you know, he's just like, he was probably just like a font of creativity and stuff. But you think someone would have been like, let's bring Cherry in here. Like, you know what? We got Vance. Like, How about pterodactyl?
A cameo would have been good. You know, like any cameo. I mean, Miss Yvonne's in it as the bearded lady.
Right. That's great.
But I think she's the only person.
I believe so. Well, no, I think Vance is voiced by one of the production designers of the show.
Oh, okay.
I guess he has an interesting voice or whatever. No, Vance talks, the other animals don't, but they do sleep in people like beds.
Yeah.
See, again, that's the 50s thing, because it's in no way my fantasy to have a farm with animals. But I think Paul Rubens is like, yeah, kids like this. This is what kids want.
I didn't see the credits, but there are a lot of trained animals in here. Do you think Doc Antle from the Tiger King, was the trainer for all this? Because he did a lot of movies.
You know what? I'm just going to say yes without doing my research. Franco Colombo, the bodybuilder who I think is in Pumping Iron, he's like the strong man in this.
Yeah.
There's also a mermaid.
There's a mermaid.
Who apparently is an actual mermaid because she has to be in like tubs and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a horny hippo that's constantly trying to sexually assault Vance the pig. There's the dog-faced boy. There's the shim. There's the fat lady.
Who, by like today's standards, is like, yeah, she's
just
obese.
She's just like I see people like her every day.
Yeah.
There's Siamese twins, like conjoined twins. They say the word Siamese in the movie.
Not cool.
What else is there in there? There's just Big John, who's just a very tall man. He's just a super tall guy.
And he's always with the little person.
Andy. And is that it for the freaks?
I just wanted to go back to why the circus is unaccepted.
Yes, please.
The morning of Hurricane Sandy, and a circus just came in. Like, you're a Sandy survivor, Mike.
I would have won. I feel like that's stolen valor. I lived through it.
Yeah.
Nothing happened to my house.
You were in proximity to the waterfront.
I remember I was dating someone at the time who lived like not that close, like an hour and a half walk, and everything was out or whatever, and I couldn't get them.
Right.
And I just kept thinking, like, what if she's like under a dresser? So I walked from my house to hers, and it was wild. I just saw trees down, and just like, it was just a crazy scene.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I didn't survive anything.
But, like, look, I mean, I hate to deflate it or whatever, but, like, my basement got flooded. It really ruined my day.
Yeah.
I was bummed. If a circus came right to the front of my house, I would have been so pissed.
You really are a Mr. Ryan.
Oh, man.
Pee-wee Herman wants
that
a pickle.
That guy could, he could do, like, his famous cheese sandwich of, like, record time of just
barely any cheese. I know.
And Fink bread and a butcher's knife to it.
But I gotta say, I love
that. I sympathize with him.
I love that Paul, you could see that the Paul Rubens like is like, let's get old character actors in here. Because like Mr. Ryan, like none of them are famous, but like if you look at their credits, they're in a million things.
No, the one of the old women is Happy Gilmore's grandmother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Wasn't she also, oh, I don't know. Isn't she also the one in Seinfeld with the marble rye?
Yes.
Right, right. So yeah, so you think because they went through that storm, they're like, fuck this circus, we don't want it. Hmm.
They're also really intrusive, like never bring carnies into your house. Like it seems like the house, like the order of the house goes south, like the moment he's like, oh sure, you guys could live here. Like he can't get into the bathroom. Yeah. Now you got
Pee-wee does invite it though.
He does invite it.
I think he wants more than the farm. Hmm. But it also seems like he's super content with the farm.
Yeah.
Supposedly there was a version of the script that said that was more of a direct sequel where like after the movie came out based on Big Adventure where he's played by James Brolin.
Yeah.
Right? Paging Mr. Herman. Like that makes him famous and then he starts to do that stage show just to cash in on it. Mm. And then because he can't take the fame anymore, he moves to a farm. So there's one version of the script that actually connects the two, which is, I don't even know. Maybe that would be better. I don't know. But in that sense, you'd then be like, well, what about his little dog? What about What about Dottie? What about his friends?
And also, if he wanted to help the success of the circus, why wouldn't he just say like, hey, call his agent. Like, I'm doing a circus thing now. Bring everybody right, right. around.
There's been a movie based on your life.
Exactly.
See, so you again, looking at like the optics, look at the difference between Mr. Ryan and his old ass general store being a mean old man to like.
He doesn't want business.
No, he does not. Not from Italians, which I understand. I have a sign outside my house that says no Italians, please.
but you're Italian.
Yeah. So I know I'm allowed. Compare him to the guy who runs the magic shop in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, who's like, hi, Pee-wee, I got a new bow tie that's like fun and wacky and woo, weird stuff. Like the big ear, like what?
This is,
one kid's eat up like candy and the other kid's like, what is this?
You got the no nonsense man and the all the nonsense.
yeah. Right.
Oh yeah.
Then we didn't finish the thought. Using his GMOs, he poisons the old people and they turn into children. One of them being Screech.
Yeah.
They turn into children and that's how they accept the farm at the end. He turns the old people into young people, which I guess the idea is like young people have bigger hearts and are more imaginative and they want a circus, but only old people don't want a circus.
I would have loved for them to just like keep the same attitude and just get even more pissed off.
They're like, I'm a fucking kid now.
Oh god, I gotta get go out to school of my store, again. Pee-wee like, I can't reach the register. Come on.
Yeah. Just still angry at Italians.
Exactly.
I'm not selling you oatmeal.
Well, what is it? The Piccolo Pupolo brothers.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want your kind here.
Yeah, that's we don't want your kind here. And then Gina's their sister, Piccolo Pupola.
She's their sister?
Yeah, because
so they're all related at the end? That's gross.
Yeah, because I was like, is she or isn't she? Because I thought maybe I was just being Italian racist. But then remember, she gives Pee-wee her father's outfit, and she says the great Piccolo Pupola was the greatest acrobat of all time. So yeah, she's their sister. Which is also why when she's like mad at him, when she sits with them and the guys like all like front him, like get away.
Right.
But even that's like, why am I spending so, why are there so many scenes about Pee-wee trying to hook up with this girl?
Well, it was like the Tim Robinson skit where he's like, I just really wanted two girlfriends.
Yeah, the movie really tries to posit that he's so madly in love with this girl, Gina. He forgot that he had a fiance. Like that's acceptable. And they become friends, whatever. And she hawks up, she gets, you know, banged by four Italian guys, which is like, welcome to Staten Island. I'm sorry. anyway, I can make fun of Italians all day.
I love how.
I do want to say one funny line.
Yeah.
When he eats the egg salad sandwich, he goes, egg salad. That's pretty good.
I just love when he's like laying on Winnie's lap and it's falling on his face like bird shit.
It's so
like,
gross. It's so gross.
Gina's very smart though. Like she does not entertain it whatsoever. Like yeah. She finds out that she's the other woman. She's like, I'm not going to be that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Good I really like when she says, so funny, I forgot to laugh. I like when other people say his quote unquote classic lines. Have you ever watched Pee-wee on the old Letterman show?
Like, probably
old Letterman show. He was on there a lot, and he was almost like more like a Carrot Top at that time. He would come with like shit and be like, look at this thing, look at that thing. And like, that was kind of his bit. It's very different. Like, the character wasn't fully evolved yet. It's just, I don't know. The Pee-wee persona, I think, is really interesting. I do think that the documentary is right in that he kind of screwed himself over by not making Pee-wee a character. But we're not like saying to the world, I'm Paul Reubens and I play Pee-wee. Because what happens was he gets caught in a movie theater jerking off. Which, by the way, it's a gay movie theater. And you think that would have been the headline, and it wasn't.
Right.
Which is wild. Like, that's not the thing people glommed onto. People just glommed onto he was a movie theater jerking off. And
it was so connected to him being
right, like it,
a
like
he's child a, yeah, like, performer that
right that it becomes this thing. Like, I think he would have, so if he had done more things like Buffy or whatever, like before that happened, I think it wouldn't have been such a thing, because basically it was like no Paul Reubens. It was like Pee-wee was in a movie theater jerky, like, yeah. He That's screwed himself over. It.
Yeah,
he screwed like himself. Said,
he like went into a regular movie theater and just like exposed himself. That's what I thought it was.
And
it
by the way, fuck those cops.
Not only that.
What are you doing in there? You're waiting for that, right? You're just waiting to make an arrest.
He was followed. Like,
yeah.
But the thing that's wild about all of it, that all of his legal fines combined, was a total of like $230. Right. Between that and like his collection of like the old muscle magazines or whatever.
Oh, with the second thing.
Yeah.
Well, the second thing is even more bullshit.
Well, it's because he was friends with Jeffrey Jones, or Jeffrey Jones was like kind of like in his circle, so they talked about him too.
Yeah. They had it out for him.
Yeah.
There's good because the second thing later on was that they said he had child pornography.
Mm. But they were gonna throw it out, and the prosecutor was like a brand new person, wanted to make a name for himself.
Right. But there's good evidence to support that they ended up he was a collector. So he had boxes and boxes of ephemera in old magazines and stuff. And they found like two questionable images in old magazines. But there's evidence to support that he never even looked at them.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like looking through everything to find something.
It was like page like 130 of like volume 12 of the like 40 volume thing that he had.
And it's sad because he never really got over that. I think the saddest part of the documentary is at the end, the day before he dies, he records a message to send to the director of the documentary, which you can find online. It's very, very sad, but it's also nice because he's like, all I ever wanted to do, again, it's like Mace Montana. He's like, all I ever wanted to do was to make kids happy, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing worse than, you know, people thinking that I'm a pedophile, blah, blah, blah. But it's just so sad, like, that's a day before he died. He's still, like, he never got over that, the injury of that. And it sucks. It sucks because he was just gay. I mean, that's it. Like, he wasn't a pedophile. He was jerking off. And I mean, maybe kids don't understand now because we have porn on our phones. Yeah. But there used to be porn theaters. And guess what? People would go to hook up or jerk off.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an unusual. He wasn't watching Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
He was watching a porno movie.
Yeah. It would be weirder if you just sat there and watched it.
Yeah. It'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Jerk off already. It sucks. But at least now he's getting, I think, this reevaluation that he deserves. Hmm.
But one thing I wanted to go back to.
Please.
Well, I mean, this is kind of the chasing him out with pitchforks narrative going back to Mr. Ryan, and you know, it's a good segue. After they chased out the circus before they turned to children, like, how are they celebrating? They're celebrating the general store just drinking 7-Up. Like, this is like a bunch of 7-Up bottles around. Like, I don't know if it's crazy product placement, but like, what a wild party.
Was 7-Up a mixer at the time? Because I know Mountain Dew was
like
a mixer.
7-7, right?
The season, so,
like.
But there's a great line, too, where Pee-wee stands there and he goes, great party. Yeah. There is funny shit in it. There's funny stuff in it.
No, the, but I do love the old, like, I love the relationship that he has with them because they're just, it, only in the 80s you could be that angry. Like,
yes.
What was it? How Did This Get Made? I talked about Sleepaway Camp and how just
yeah,
so fiery pissed everybody is in it.
But yes.
Yeah, only in the 80s you could be that pissed.
Yeah.
But
also, only in the 80s was it acceptable and hilarious to be mean to super old ladies.
No, you could do that now too.
I guess you can. But I feel like there was a lot of that. There was a lot of that at the time.
Yeah.
So it ends with like a big song, which is, so they do this thing where they're like, Mace has this idea. It's a stretch, but Mace goes into Pee-wee's agricultural little lab, which is there any point to that other than the hot dogs that then he uses to shrink?
No, that's
such a weird.
He tries to talk about George Washington Carver.
Is his hero?
But the thing is, Mace Montana has no idea what he's talking about. Yeah. Like, he just, I don't know if he's not listening, but he's just like, oh yeah, and he chopped down the cherry tree too. It's like, no, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not talking about him.
And Mace Montana constantly calls him kid.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. No, that whole thing is weird. And then it's like, it's a little like of the old Pee-wee where like there's like a hand thing where you like, it scans your hand and that's what lets you in. So it's like top secret kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, kids are really interested in spaces because they don't have a lot of space. They have their room, which they have some autonomy over, but they don't have their own house or whatever. Like, kids are really interested. That's why kids are interested in like Hey Arnold, who like lived in a fucking crazy thing, or like, you know, Pee-wee's Playhouse. Like, I think
Ninja Turtle Sewer.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, any things like that kids are super into. And I think
Ghostbuster Firehouse.
Yeah, exactly. And a farm. No, not really.
Kids are agoraphobic. That's what it comes down to. They need closed in spaces. But yeah, it ends with Pee-wee's tightrope walking, which is
his talent, I guess.
But it's so anticlimactic because like he just like very easily walks across and then he brings a bunch of different animals across. And then it just ends.
Like that's the end of that. And that's the end of his story too. Like he found his niche. The academic in me wants to be like, we can read the tightrope as a metaphor for Paul Rubin's own tightrope walk that he had to do trying to maintain both Pee-wee Herman's anonymity and Pee-wee Herman's personality and Paul Rubin's anonymity and sexuality. But I won't do that.
Which was definitely hetero, as you see in this movie.
Yeah, he loves puss.
And hair.
Loves puss and hair. And
oh God! One thing that made me laugh so much was when he first meets the. I mean, like, do you say that they're trans or like they're like? I feel so wrong. Like,
they're not trans. They used the term hermaphrodite,
which was the correct term at the time. It's not an intersex. It's an intersex person.
I guess.
But when like you first see them turn and you see that it's like a split gendered person. The reaction Pee-wee has is so funny. It was like, wow!
Oh, yeah. It's not great. Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Oh, the other thing like that we didn't...
I just Googled hermaphrodite versus intersex. This is according to Google AI. Hermaphrodites don't exist. That is an outdated term implying that a person is both fully male and fully female, which isn't biologically possible. In fact, many people who are intersex consider that term derogatory and stigmatizing.
Well, Pee-wee said it, not me.
Yeah, I'm not saying you said it. I'm just saying it's not really a thing. It's interesting because it's a circus, but then there's also a freak show, which is related to the circus, but isn't exactly the same thing.
Yeah, that's more of a carnival thing.
Yeah, it feels like this circus is acrobats and then freaks, and that's basically it. Like, and there's one cruelty. Clown, Snowball the clown,
right?
And animal cruelty, of course. The freaks of it all. I guess it goes with the queerness of it.
Well, he grew up in Florida. Pee-wee, like, I mean, it was all sideshow attractions. So, like, it was just a, you know, culmination of everything.
Right. And again, that's like him as a kid probably loved that shit.
Yeah.
But despite all the nitpicking I just did, I do enjoy this movie. It is entertaining. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It does have funny jokes.
Except for the sexuality. The sexuality overstays his welcome. Yeah. Oh, the other thing, like when we first meet Gina and he just like looks at her cleavage and passes out.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's...
See, that's what we keep bringing up newfound things about this overt sexual Pee-wee.
Yeah, it's weird also because like he's adult enough to have all these sexual feelings, but child enough to get away with his behavior.
Yeah.
No one's ever like, hey, dude, the fuck you doing?
Not cool.
You know, Macy's like, ah, kid, whatever. Like, it looks like you're in love or whatever. Like he's treated as a kid by some people and as a pariah by other people.
Just eat your egg sandwiches and
Did you ever like egg salad?
I've never had egg salad because of this movie. Mike, like I said, I saw this movie at 3 or 4 years old, and that taught me enough to tuna salad I could get down with in a big way. But egg salad? No.
Well, you can get down with tuna salad.
Tuna, I'll make you one right now that'll knock your socks off.
Disgusting. I liked chicken salad the one time I ever had it, which I was very high, so I might not like it. I tell you what, I do like macaroni salad and potato salad.
Mm.
But, you know, in the world of things that we call salad that are just things.
Mayonnaise
that,
salads.
That have mayonnaise, yeah. I could fuck up a fucking potato salad.
Mm.
Oof.
Go to Famous Dave's. Famous Dave's has a really good one. I
recently had a
one.
Meal of potato salad and, like, black olives. Ooh, Italian salad.
That really, olives. Like, cuts through the fat, too.
Ooh.
Mm.
So good. Anyway, is this movie worth seeing? I think so. If you're interested in Paul Reubens, I think it's worth seeing. It's not an unmitigated disaster.
No, it's definitely watchable.
Yeah.
It does have its flaws, but I'm glad that we did talk about it because nobody really does. Like this one kind of not even that it gets forgotten about. It kind of gets pushed to the side.
Yeah. Well, as far as I understand, you and I are the only defenders of this. We will start a wave of reevaluation because people just categorically go, this is bad. Like, Big Top Pee-wee, that's the bad one.
It is, but give it a chance. Like,
yeah,
that's, yeah, you know.
If you're interested in Pee-wee, right, and you've seen Big Adventure, which obviously Big Adventure's a great, it's a classic.
Yeah.
It might be Burton's best movie, and it's like his first movie.
It's a bold claim, but you might be right.
I mean, maybe Beetlejuice, but he's only gotten worse and worse as time has gone on.
I'd say Batman Returns is his most Burton of all Burton movies.
Yes.
That's probably Big Top Pee Wee,
when you're too much, sometimes people need to be stifled. Sometimes you need someone to be like, that's too much. We're
trying to sell toys to kids at McDonald's. Yeah. Can't do that anymore.
Because I love Batman Returns, but I saw it again a few years ago, and I was like, this isn't as good as I remember it. Mm. It's got a lot of Burton. It's got incredible style.
Paul Reubens is in it.
But Paul Reubens is in it. Paul Reubens is in it, and his wife in the movie is played by the waitress from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh.
The one that he sits in the what do you call it, the dinosaur with.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They're Penguin's parents. Anyway, thank you so much for being here, Bill. Knowing that this is a big movie for you does make me understand you more.
Thank you.
The Mr. Ryan in you. Any final thoughts? Watch the documentary, by the way.
Yeah.
Do watch the documentary. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Well, what else is there?
Let's get on our little bikes. And we end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.